Well, sit back and relax. It's time to tune in to the Pilgrim on the 405 and find out more about his wanderings through the world of sales and sales technology with your own personal pilgrim, Will Crist. So let's get started. Here he is, the one and only Pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist.
This has been a great week for hearing stories. Welcome to the 405. Lots of great opportunities, thriving companies, lots of passion and successful ventures in the offering. I've been speaking with video experts, financial systems wizards, IT gurus, and software professionals. I got to tell you, Orange County is blessed with great CEOs who are blazing new trails. Business people are generally seeing an uptick in opportunities, requests for proposals, more interest. And no one is yet claiming the downturn is over, but there are many reports of heightened activity in the marketplace. And all this leads to greater optimism, more willingness to risk on those new tactics, and deeper and more meaningful conversations with strategic partners. And all of this leads to just my continual amazement that when I hear from CEOs of these successful companies, I keep getting the same four elements of that template for success. Radical customer-centric sales. Paying attention to what the customer wants from the very beginning of the conversation. Secondly, strategic partner relationships with customers that are so deeply embedded in that customer's desires, needs, hopes, and plans that you actually sit around either the literal wood strategy table or the virtual strategy table. Thirdly, I'm hearing again more and more people talking about non-proprietary offerings, open, not necessarily open source, but open to lots of possibilities, not limited to a particular file format, not trying to lock somebody in given the systems that a particular company has. And then finally, finding the best of breed, doing the one thing that the company can do well, and then outsourcing the rest to leverage the expertise of others. Over and again, I'm hearing these kinds of templates. And there's also one more that I think we're going to hear today when we hear from our first guest, and that has to do with the support that this company is giving to its employees. We're indeed fortunate today to have as our guest Joey Benedretti from Cispro. Joey has 30 years experience in working with manufacturers and distributors and has spent the past 25 years with Cispro. As the president and director of operations for the Americas, he's concentrated on building an in-depth organization to meet the growing needs of both the company's expanding reseller channel and the Cispro user base. Now, just before we begin the interview, I want to tell you I was so impressed with the passion that Joey has for developing his people and the focus that he has on helping those people to be the best that they can possibly be. And Joey also believes that the customer is Cispro's focal point. The result is that Cispro customer retention is one of the highest in the industry. So with those in mind, I want to welcome Joey Benedretti. Joey, are you there?
Good. Hi, Will. How are you? That was very kind. Oh. Thank you.
Well, they're certainly well-deserved. I mean, I've been so impressed with you and other CEOs in Orange County who are very reluctant to lay people off and always focusing on how to protect their most important asset, which is the people, and help those people be the best they can be. Tell us a little bit about how you got to this country.
Well, yeah, that goes back a long time, actually, really through family. My aunt lived in New York for many, many years, and she worked for the United Nations for 35, and she sponsored my mom, who was a sister, and that brought me back here two, 3 decades ago, and I've been in California ever since and been a part of the Orange County empire for what it's worth.
Well, you must have seen lots of changes.
Say again?
You must have seen a lot of changes in those 30 years.
Oh, my gosh. When I first arrived, everything was strawberry patches and, orange orchards and everything. But It's grown into a buzzing technology environment, particularly around the Irvine area. We all know, you know, how important Southern California is, being the second biggest technology market in the world, only second to Silicon Valley. So it's a great place to do business.
Well, how did you get into this particular line of work?
Probably by default. I love the technology environment. I love working with companies, and it's always been my passion. So, you know, I looked for something way back then, and CISPRO was the opportunity, and been with it ever since. I think really the key isn't so much about, you know, what I like and where I've been as to the trail that I've been down over the last 20-odd years. That's where the change has been. I mean, if we're just going to talk even about Orange County itself, Orange County has changed dramatically from that side. Today, we're a technology haven. Unfortunately, we're in an environment where today California itself is probably ranked number 50 in the worst places to do business in, whereas 20 years ago we were number one. But, you know, setting aside the environment that we've been put in and take it down to more of a micro level for companies, it's a great place. I mean, California offers so much. We're so rich in resources, in people, in opportunities. On top of that, we have the weather, and we have all the good things that come with it. But I got to tell you, at the same time, being a good corporate citizen is what drives me and what my drive is at CISPRO in terms of many of the things. Just to share one thing, I was listening to the radio this morning, and they're talking about the number of people we have on food stamps. 40 million people in this country. It's abhorrent. How do we ever let ourselves get into this circumstance? You know, today we're losing our competitiveness by allowing ourselves to not seek the highest standards, and that's something that at CISPRO we only push for the highest standards, to be as best as we can be in everything that we do, and I think that's what you saw when you came out here and you looked at many of the things in our glass cases up front. I mean, we've been Company of the Year three times. Twice through the Technology Council and Software Council, and once through Tech America. In fact, the good news is actually we're up for three awards at the moment, two American Business Awards and another Tech America National Award. So we're very proud.
Tell us a little bit about what CISPRO does and what kind of value they bring to your customers.
Okay. You know, certainly we're a technology company. We offer a wide range of solutions to businesses. Our primary target market are medium-sized manufacturers and distributors. What we do provide is a full suite of business-related applications, so everything from what we call ERP. So really, to take it down to the simplest level, anything that a company uses to run their business, to run their books, for example, their financials, to control inventory purchasing, if they're a manufacturer, shop, everything that goes through their factory, obviously managing sales and everything that's got to do with e-commerce and scheduling and all those other things. But the reality is it's a nuts and bolts to run a company. And, of course, at the same time, customer relationship management, so to manage your customers and record all of those things that are important. I mean, you use the word assets right up front. That's exactly what we feel, that our staff and our customers are our biggest assets.
When we were talking, you talked a little bit about how you were passionate about helping all of your employees to be the best they can possibly be. Tell us a little bit about how you do that at CISPRO.
Oh, sure. Well, I think the most important thing is that CISPRO has never had a layoff. So we have a commitment to the people that we bring in. But it's not just enough having staff. I think it's a two-party street when you hire somebody and they become a part of your team. And our people have typically been here long-term. They are immense assets for us because they have the knowledge. What we have done is numerous things. We've run huge amounts of training here. I think everybody should have that feel that they're going somewhere. So, for example, I sent my entire management team on a year's training course through Crescom, and that was very productive because we managed to get all of our executive and middle management actually thinking in the same direction. We then took that training program, and we've made everybody in our entire company go through that. And that's just on, you know, maybe more generalized things and that's got nothing to do with our software. At the same time, we've invested heavily in training on our software. We have very good programs here in terms of the benefits that we offer and how we treat our people. We certainly work very closely with our people on the day-to-day and trying to understand them and be a part of their lives in many instances. Let's be realistic. At the end of the day, someone comes to work, they spend more time probably in our offices than they do communicating at home often. So if someone has a problem on the outside and they're going to bring it to work, I mean, it really does inflict a little bit on their work if nothing is done about it. So we have good ears and listening skills, and we certainly have an outstanding HR department that interface, but it's more than that. The people that work here are our customers. The way that we build everything is that the biggest customer we have, or the most important customer we have, is the person next to them. So their peers are their customers. If we can't do the job here right, how can we do it for an external customer, for one of our users? So that's where the ball starts rolling. But the commitment starts right from the day that we hire someone all the way through the whole tenure that they're here at Cispro. And, you know, I'm pleased to say that average tenure here is really long. So that's a very good thing for us, because it does create continuity in all sorts of things. You know, at the same time, you know, we also encourage our people to be with our customers, be with our channel. There's a lot of involvement out there. We involve a lot of our people in terms of conferences. At the last conference that we ran, I had 30 of my people, in fact more, somewhere between 30 and 40 of our people actually presenting. So they get that opportunity to grow and see themselves moving up the ladder in terms of their own personal capabilities, and I think that's important. And then, of course, over and above that, our involvement in our own community.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Wow. We're involved in so many different things. Obviously, we're involved in our tech organizations. You know, one of the things, you know, for me personally, just to give an indication, I was up in Sacramento with one of the organizations a week before last to lobby on behalf of technology firms and manufacturing companies. At the end of the day, the technology environment and our manufacturers is what I believe is going to drive California out of its current recession. And that's being a part of the community that we're involved in, speaking to our legislators, making sure they understand. There was one awful situation that we had with one of the legislators that, you know, some of my peers at other companies were speaking to them, one of my colleagues, and they raised the points about, you know, companies moving out of California and how they'd been offered to move out of California. In fact, I got a friend of mine who was offered to move his company to Texas. They'd build a 100,000 square foot facility for him and give him $1.3 million in cash. And the point is, no California company ever hears from our government here to stay or be a part of things. And I think that's sad. It's always a thing to move. But the interesting part was that the legislator that we're speaking to, who's an assemblyman from Orange County, actually turned around, raised the point and said, you know, he's sick and tired of hearing these things and that California companies don't move and that maybe 1% move. And I thought, what a terrible shame. We should be holding on to every single company we have and making them successful. That's what drives our economy. It's what gives jobs. When we talk about the 12.6% unemployment rate that they're talking about, you know, through California, and I'm talking specifically about California, but, you know, again, we can add more jobs than what we're seeing right now, and the tech market has got to be a driving force for that. And we can't have an environment where we have politicians out there that don't believe in the private sector.
Well, now, one of the things that I was really impressed with when we talked was that not only do you have long retention for your your employees, but you also have a long retention for your customers and your channel partners. You must be doing something. And I remember you talking about being the purple cow in the software industry.
Yes, I did. From a customer point of view, yeah, we have pretty much a 98% retention rate, which is definitely one of the highest in the industry. I think what really separates CISPRO out at the end of the day is our mindset. It's our culture. It's the way that we apply things. It's the belief that we have in people. I think with it comes a lot of things. And I'm not saying that other companies or competitors don't have these things, but I think we are known to have honesty, integrity, and a lot of humility, that we believe a lot in educating those both within our company and those around. You know, by making people feel something both within your own company and within your customer base, you get mind-like customers. You know, maybe the best example of that is, you know, how often do we hear someone say, like, you know, you look like your wife or you look like your husband? You grow to be very similar to each other over the course of time. And I think that's what happens to communities and environments. You start to make and become part of it. And so around a CISPRO, you're going to find very similar type companies. And we've got awesome companies and customers around us. You know, even if you look locally, somebody like TRD, Toyota Racing Developments, you know, they're a local customer. We have customers across a variety of different fields. And at the end of the day, they've stayed with CISPRO not only because we have great product and that product retains itself, but I think it sits in the mindset of how we operate. Maybe I should start off and tell you a little bit of, from another angle. CISPRO is a private company, so we don't sit under the force of shareholders. We're not driven by the dollar with everything that we do. We believe in the long term. And CISPRO has been profitable year upon year. We're a conservative company. We're not trying to blow the floor out or go through the ceiling. We believe in growth, absolutely. But I think you've got to manage that growth. And certainly, I think probably the strongest point is that we have one product line, which we keep enhancing. As we move to new technologies, we drag our customers with us, motivate them to move forward, so they always have that upward mobility. Whereas many of my competitors have actually gone through the acquisition trail, and they will buy lots of different companies, and then they get stuck with, well, which ones are profitable? Do I have to move a base one way or the other way? We don't have that problem. That's why we've been able to hold on to our customers, and we've got thousands of customers, and they're really good companies. We've got lots of the biggest name brands in the industry, like many of our competition as well. And I think what separates CISPRO, you know, at the end of the day, is that we really care. We're really a part of the community that they reside in. CISPRO grew from nothing from its early beginnings. You know, like you always hear the story of companies growing out of the basement. Well, yeah, CISPRO was one of those types of companies. But we've emerged into a world-class corporation. You know, our software is in 60 countries today. We're in multiple languages. We have all sizes of customers, some very, very big and some not so big. We service them all well. We believe in looking after them. We've continually been opening ourselves up for transparency by entering openly into reviews where we get our own software audited. So what we're saying is the truth, and I think that's really important. We're not a company out there that is trying to be something that we're not. That's the hallmark of CISPRO. What we say is who we are, and I think that very much does make us the purple cow of the industry, because many of our competitors and many companies out there are creating the different trails. They say one thing, they become something else. They may say they're channel-oriented, but they're not. They only sell direct, and they put out all these different mixed statements because they have to meet shareholder needs or requirements at a board meeting or something. And we're just not under that pressure. So we like to feel that we are who we are. We've been real forthright about that. We've been recognized in many different ways. In fact, last year we got the key to the city in March of 2009, the key to the city of Costa Mesa. That was fantastic. We involved with all the analyst groups, the major analyst groups around the country, and we brief them often and we tell them who we are and what we're doing. And I think that's just the hallmark of where we are. You know, to go through and, you know, talk about being the purple cow, what really the purple cow is, you know, are you something that really stands out being different and being outstanding? No, you know, I think I'd like to take it to maybe another level. I think very much CISPRO has comparative parity with most of our competition. We do a lot of the same things, and a lot of companies out there that are in business, we do the same things. I think the differential is in the way we operate, the way we think, the way we believe, and what we do out there. Our involvement both within the confines of our company and on the outside in community, we help give their management visibility into their operations, and the more we get involved, the more that we can show them how to, in many cases, how to save money to increase their profitability, how to be able to offer better customer service to their own customers, and how to do things with a best-of-breed approach. You know, obviously, you have different types of customers. We have large ones and complex ones. We have some that are multinationals. We have some that are very small, you know, environments. Some that are very closed in the way they want to operate. Some that are family-owned and want to do things a certain way. And some that are public that want to do it a different way. But in each type of customer, you know, we get pulled into different things. So, for example, if you take one of our medical device manufacturers, you know, we certainly need to understand that they would have maybe to go through an FDA requirement, and software plays an important part in that. But it's not just software. It's about systems internally and processes. So you know, we're very face-to-face in talking with our customers to understand that strategy and be a part of it. From another aspect, we deploy methodologies that are best of breed that help our customers do some of these things. So how do we interact? We'll take a best of breed methodology, whether it be an implementation methodology or maybe a development methodology, and show them how they can achieve different heights in terms of what they're doing. You know, at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to involvement. I have a lot of communication about customers and with customers, and my teams do the same thing. I encourage us speaking to our customers all of the time when we have conferences. We encourage our customers to share as much as they can on a day-to-day basis here to do so much. In fact, I have a customer service department that is there as the voice of the customer. I want our customers speaking to my customer service department, speaking to them on a regular basis, so that we can trace what their needs are and meet their needs. And maybe over and above the software. In many, many cases, I've had a customer have a problem or an issue or a need for something, and I'll link them up to something else, to somebody else in our network or in a network that I'm aware of. And I encourage the same thing through my team to do the same thing. At the end of the day, our customers pay our checks, so we need to respect that. So anything that we can do to get involved in it is what's important.
Yeah. All right. So we got a minute or two left. If you had a megaphone and you had 2 minutes, what would you say to business owners in Orange County about what they need to do to thrive the next 12 to 18 months?
Gosh, I'd say watch your costs, because I think we got some issues here. Make sure that you look after the people that are important to you, that you work with day by day. Focus on the relationships, both internally and in business. You know, watching that cash is really important, because it's not about profitability. It's really about cash flow. And be a part of your community. Build the companies around you and in your environment, so they're stronger. And the stronger, it really comes down to synergy. If you're strong, and the ones around you are strong, it makes a difference. So, for example, CISPRO and our channel partners around us and our customers around us are a huge, huge footprint in this country. The services and the revenue that's generated is immense. And if we all try, and just within our own community, we'll be the same on the outside. If I, as a business owner, just invest in the people around me, in terms of all different aspects, I'm sure that as a result of that, there's a synergistic effect that will keep that ripple going that can make it. And from a business point of view here, it's up to us to help get us out of this recession. We can't look towards government to do that for us. It's businesses that can do that. It's our strength in terms of what we do that can make the difference. I'm a firm believer in that.
That's wonderful. I am so glad that you've been on this show, Joey. That's really great. And I'm sure this is not the last time that we'll talk. So thank you so very much for being here and taking the time. We'll be right back after a short break with Bob Giraca.
Thanks,
and
Will.
Now let's
appreciate
move to the 17th.
Opportunity.
John Rollins has 123 yards to the hole and needs to stick this shot tight to have a chance for birdie. Looks like he likes it. Should have the distance. Yes, he nailed it to inside 2 feet.
What does it take to perform when the pressure's on? Ask PGA Tour golfer John Rollins, and he'll tell you it takes years of hard work. And it takes ongoing coaching and support from people who are determined to help you excel. The same is true with sales. That's why at Sandler Training, we bring you the reinforcement you need to take on any stage. You won't fail, because we won't let you. Sandler Training. Proud supporters of PGA Tour golfer John Rollins and thousands of exceptional sales performers around the world. Finding power in reinforcement.
And now back to Will Crist and the Pilgrim on the 405.
I have another wonderful president of the company that I'll introduce to you. This is a company that started off with three or four guys with some great ideas coming from different parts of the industry, coming together to put in one place software that will help insurance agencies manage all of their business, not only small insurance agencies, but some of the largest insurance agencies in the country. I had the privilege of meeting with Bob and his partner last week, and there are some wonderful things coming out of X-Dimensional Technologies. So I want to welcome Bob Giraca.
Hello, Will.
How are you?
I am doing well, and you?
Well, good. What's the weather like in Chicago?
It's a little blustery. I was worried that there were some lightning strikes. I'm in our satellite office. I'm in Chicago this week, and there were some lightning strikes threateningly nearby, and I wondered if I was going to have technical difficulties as a result. But knock on wood, we're doing good.
Well, that's wonderful. We got a great producer here who could take care of most technical difficulties when they come along. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me that story about X-Dimensional Technologies and how you and your partners came together.
Well, it was truly just seeing a untapped opportunity within the space. Insurance distribution is a very interesting business, and you know, multiple levels, and really the traditional approach to technology offerings for that distribution system was very fragmented and long in the tooth technology and everything else. So we truly saw an opportunity to bring complete innovative and completely modern technical solution, first and foremost to the retail agency or brokerage, as you said, but because that distribution system involves multiple constituencies, the carrier, the sometimes a wholesale broker or a MGA, a managing general agency, all the way down to the insured client, be that a household or a business, when we came in, again, with that initial intent being modernizing the platform for the retail insurance brokerage, when we did that with a true software as a service solution, a no software required sort of solution, it really opened a world of possibilities, because with that sort of technology, it's very easy to engage the other elements or the other strata of that distribution system. So how an agency interacts with the carrier issuing the policy, how an agency interacts with the insured client, and how the agency interacts with the wholesaler if there is one. So because we had that zero footprint, then things got really exciting because we were able to really innovate and connect those constituencies in ways that hadn't been possible before.
Now, one of the things that's very impressive to me is that where before large insurance agencies with multiple offices, there were constraints to how many people could be on the database, and they, from what you told me, people were stepping on each other's toes when they began to approach prospective customers.
Sure.
And you've solved that problem, right?
Yeah, through sheer scale, there was that hard ceiling, as you mentioned, where some of the very largest insurance brokerages, many thousands of employees, had actually had to segment their operations into separate instances. Could have been the same software platform, but the necessity was there to actually maintain separate instances in order to accommodate the employee base. So as you said, when you've split up the brain, then things can happen with people not knowing what the other hand is doing.
So how has this large aggregation that you're able to do, the managing thousands, maybe multiple thousands of agents, how has that helped your customers?
Well, it's given them that unified front, the true platform. I mean, we really have tried to embrace a different moniker even for defining what we do. When we started the company, what we were entering into and sort of how we were defined was known as an agency management system. We really think of it as a platform as opposed to a system because of that all-in kind of continuity. So, you know, we like to throw around, you know, insurance distribution platform or insurance distribution and sales platform as an alternative moniker for what we do, because it truly does enable the organization to have that singular brain to cross-sell and upsell in ways that they had never been able to achieve before because of that splintered or fragmented system approach. So by providing a system of scale, again, made even better by the fact that it's a software as a service, that there's no local software to deploy or to slow down the uptake of new versions of the platform, it really has helped us to help our clients to achieve that unified front.
Now, tell me a little bit about, we talked about this notion of radical customer-centric approach to your clients. How does that fit in with your plan, your business plan?
Well, it really is the one of those cornerstones, and certainly I'm in lockstep with you on all four of them, and I would probably add a fifth to my own. But it really was responding to a need. The impetus of the company, the genesis of the company, was very specifically responding to a need. So our culture, you know, once we had achieved our version one and were evolving the system on through the subsequent versions, the philosophy didn't change. It was to fulfill needs. And those clients, you know, it's really an interesting dynamic, truly a wonderful dynamic. When you come to the market with something new and you're early adopters, those kind of system buyers are a unique breed. And they have incredible ideas. So, and often those ideas had been pent up for years, sometimes many years, again, because of, you know, sort of the confines of the previous software platform. So those great ideas, again, just like the initial impetus to build the solution, the impetus to continue to evolve the solution, now we have a greater pool of fantastic ideas in our clients.
Now, and as I understand it, you have one product that gets modified by inputs from the variety of clients, but you have one product. Is that true?
It is indeed true. It is one of the base tenets of the company to maintain that philosophy and truly adhere to that rule. It's one of the golden rules of the company that there's a single version. Our product is called Nexure. There is a single version of that system. And yes, there are clever kind of configurations that can make the user experience at one brokerage sometimes radically different than the user experience at another, but that is achieved through configuration and not through a different code base.
And now, this is an open structure since it's all in the cloud. I mean, I think there's no software that gets downloaded to the desktop, is there?
There is not. And again, it is a very open, very modern platform. But sometimes, I mean, we talked a little bit when you visited our offices about finding other when you want to integrate with other components and not reinvent the wheel. Sometimes you integrate with software that actually lives local. Certainly, if we had our druthers, we would find partnerships with other like systems that are that same zero footprint. We're still a bit of a pioneer within that space with respect to similar systems, so there's not an overabundance of those software as a service kind of solutions to integrate with. We see the trend moving in the right direction that there are newcomers bringing other components that complement our system that we can integrate with that are similarly architected, but sometimes the platform has to integrate with locally deployed software.
And so you really are seeking to leverage the expertise of others by seeking fellow travelers down this road of software as a service.
Definitely. Yeah, it's again, we first and foremost look for other similar systems. When we don't find that, often we find firms that are looking to modernize, working on their cloud offering in various stages of its evolution. And, we like to see that and we like to support it. And certainly we know by experience that integrating with another similar app where it's all web service-based integrations is an order of magnitude easier than integrating with a locally deployed software solution. But again, we don't have the luxury at this point of having only those kind of systems to integrate with.
I'll bet you've got your eye on some of those companies, and it's on the way.
Absolutely.
Now, tell me a little bit about this notion of being a strategic partner. I mean, you're working with some fairly large insurance brokerages, aren't you?
We are. We're proud to have four of the top seven, the largest, the number one bank-owned insurance brokerage, so we do have some very, very large clients, and again with fantastic ideas.
And as we talk about this on the show, the task is to wind up being at that strategy table as people begin not only to solve current problems but begin to plan for the future. You find that that's the process that you're engaged in?
Definitely. Again, because we have a unique, somewhat unique position in that our system truly is the center of the universe application for a business of this type. So it would be strained and not natural, so to speak, not to be including Nexture within that strategic discussion because it becomes such a fulcrum point for the entire business. So, we are happy to be there and to truly be partners. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. Again, I think to have a good partnership, it's kind of like a dance, so to speak, that you got to know when one partner is going to lead and when you're going to follow and be able to seamlessly kind of switch that role when the time is right. So, there's tremendous, domain expertise, subject matter expertise within these organizations. We bring to the table our own take often on the actual business process, so we're not just the technologist side of that strategy discussion. We truly can augment the business side, and then when it comes to the true architecture of the solution, that's certainly where we feel we take a leadership role.
Now, you primarily worked with large agencies. Do you have plans to move into a more retail space?
We do, and it's certainly not exclusive. We do have clients that that run the spectrum of size, and you know, even one of our marketing mantras is, Nexure is for big agencies, and Nexure is for agencies of any size that think big. So you know, often there is an impetus at a smaller organization that they recognize the need for a solution like ours. Technically, functionally, we've made sure to adopt a pricing model that does not exclude a smaller organization. It is truly a proportional kind of an investment into the system. So we are proud to have, you know, very, very small agencies as well who are, quite frankly, very active participants in the user community and very vocal and providing good ideas, just like the very large organizations. Often, these are agencies that were started by people that had grown up within very large organizations and had that kind of same entrepreneurial bent that we did, and you know, spun off on their own. So, again, the domain expertise and richness of ideas certainly doesn't have to track or correlate completely with the size of the organization.
And what you're offering is the opportunity for these smaller, but these more regional agencies to participate using software that's been pioneered by large companies with huge scale.
Certainly. And to leapfrog and, you know, absolutely be able to have the client portals, the retail agency portal extensions, bringing their insurance products to the web for, you know, web-based submissions, you know, to instantly, you know, kind of go from zero to hero as far as, you know, their technical platform, regardless of their size.
Now, as you look back in the past 18 to 24 months, has the late unpleasantness, as we used to talk about in Texas, has the late unpleasantness have any effect on your company?
Certainly. I think, a general tightening is felt throughout, whether you're talking about technology platforms or new office furniture or whatever the case may be. I think it really means you have to kind of take it to the next level as far as the value proposition of what you're bringing to the table. So, you know, the flip side of times like these is that, you know, it truly does bring to light inefficiencies, and you know, it becomes more glaring when things need to change. So again, in general, I think while I would not characterize it as a positive scenario overall, there are certainly certain points that there was motivation that came from that tightening to find ways to improve productivity. And then when an organization kind of reaches that epiphany, that's when we're there to help.
Now, what I'm finding in talking with some of the people I work with is that CEOs today are really thinking about one of two things. How do I increase the revenue that's coming in the company, and how do I save money on what I have to pay for? Do you find that true with your customers?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and we really have a unique value proposition in that we have a compelling story on for both of those philosophies, and often the combination exists, as you know. So if you can come in with a solution that solves for both sides of that equation, then things get fun when you're bringing new ways to get your product out there, again, to bring your insurance lines to the web, when you're also providing efficiency gains in the back office, that's the 1-2 punch.
Well, let me throw you a little curve here.
Okay.
You probably have vendors who come to you, right?
Sure.
What in an ideal world, what do you want from a vendor who is approaching you to, I don't know, work on your hardware, work on your your HR, help you with improving sales, marketing, you pick it. How do you want a vendor to approach you?
Well, I want a vendor to truly understand the business that we're in. And it is the exception and not the rule, unfortunately. You know, whether it be software products that I rely on from an infrastructure perspective or that XDTI relies on, hardware, knowing that we are in the software as a service business and understanding, you know, what that infrastructure is there for, who it is there for, what the stakes, how high the stakes are as far as uptime, reliability, and everything else, we're still a somewhat unique animal to many of those service providers. So the thing that I would beg more than anything else is to understand what a company like X-Dimensional Technologies is, and you know what the services that they provide, and to understand that that gives us a different perspective on what they in turn are trying to sell us.
Yeah. Is it acceptable to you that a vendor comes to you and begins, certainly does a reasonable amount of research, but really gets to understand your company by asking you significant questions?
Yeah, I think if there wasn't the opportunity to, you know, do the pre-research, and certainly that's not always possible, you know, it's really in the first couple minutes that you can tell whether someone is truly looking to learn, truly looking to diagnose before they write a prescription. And if they're not, then I certainly don't want that conversation to continue much more than those first 2 or 3 minutes.
Now, with your salespeople, what have you done to help them have that kind of attitude toward your customers?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic, because selling our services is truly the combination of, again, there's some of that domain expertise that we certainly require. If our resources don't have that, we augment that with training about what it is truly that an insurance broker does, understanding all the different permutations, again, from wholesale brokerages to retail brokerages to managing general agencies, managing general underwriters. There's a number of different flavors. And then truly educating on that flip side of a software as a service offering. To effectively sell a system like Nexture, or for that matter a system like Salesforce.com, you truly have to know what expense you are going to be eliminating for the client. Because if you don't identify that up front, it's very difficult for a prospective customer to connect the dots of that value proposition. So it is the elimination of these specific types of overhead, these specific types of hardware assets, you know, your internal training function and assimilation of new you know, systems and operating systems and things like that. It is in the elimination of those that we have to convey that very early in the cycle in order to engage a prospective customer.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense that what you're, in a sense, you are asking your vendors and you're asking your salespeople to do the same thing, to try to approach in such a way that you're invited to be part of that strategic roundtable.
Right, right. Well, as you pointed out, I mean, early identifying if they're falling in one of the two camps, as you said, is it someone who's truly got energy around, I'm going to expand my revenue, or truly has energy around, I'm going to, you know, eliminate my costs, or is it truly a hybrid individual or a hybrid organization, and identifying that and then focusing on that side of the philosophy as appropriate, or spanning both sides equally as appropriate. So you got to understand, you know, are you going to be making a pitch for selling more insurance because we have a powerful story there, or are you going to be making a pitch for servicing insurance more efficiently? We have a powerful pitch there. Or are you going to be, you know, focusing on the elimination of hardware and IT infrastructure and overhead because we have a powerful story there as well?
Well, that's wonderful. I really do really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And my goodness, you're at the office late since you're in Chicago right now.
That's right. That's right. The industry never sleeps. But no, I enjoy
I really
your show very much,
you doing
and I'm
that.
Very happy
if
to be there a part
was,
of it.
If there was one thing that you could tell fellow business people in Orange County about thriving in the next 18 to 24 months, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them to innovate. I mean, innovate. It's again, sort of that vibe and that mojo of Orange County being a very vibrant technology culture, and I think offerings and companies based out of that area just need to kind of have that swagger of truly bringing something new and novel to their own space, whatever that space may be. That's certainly, I think, innovating not only brings a new, fresh value proposition to your marketplace, it sort of injects a great energy back into your organization, back into your staff. You know, everyone involved just sort of gets excited around, you know, truly novel thinking. So to the extent that they can, you know, within the confines and with respect to their given product offerings to get creative, I think that's, you know, truly what keeps the marketplace cranking, truly what will continue to drive our growth out of the sluggish kind of era that we've been in of late is getting very inventive, whether that be on the product side or whether that be on ways that they're looking to sell it or, you know, vertically integrating and touching different parts, peripheral parts of their traditional market, but truly, truly innovating. That's kind of, that would be my addition to your four cornerstones that you mentioned, that it's that innovative spirit and it's that product or company process innovation that, you know, I think really drives and energizes an organization and the market.
Well, thanks. I'll accept that and I'll add that to the four. And now we have five. Well, that's wonderful. I welcome you as a fellow pilgrim on the 405 and, I look forward to continuing our conversation, sometime here in Orange County. So thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Will. A real pleasure.
And so there we are, another set of wonderful CEOs sharing with the Pilgrim in Pilgrim Talks. And what we're picking up today is that innovation, energy, paying attention to the customer, and getting excited and passionate about our service and product, and knowing that Orange County is the center of not only innovation and tech work, but it's the center for a lot of the optimism that's going to turn this whole country around. So I invite you to continue up and down the 405 and maybe even over to the 5 as we continue to discover all those CEOs in Orange County who are moving out of the fog and into the uplands and into the sunlight as we move forward in Southern California. So thanks for being with the Pilgrim on the 405. We look forward to seeing you either face-to-face along the way or talking to you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the one and only Will Crist, the Pilgrim on the 405, as he wanders through the world in search of the latest sales and sales technology.